So glad to have you here. I hope you brought your copy of God's Word. Turn with me, if you have it, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we'll be today. This will be my last opportunity to share with you in the series, Unlocking the Power of Prayer. Next Sunday, Pastor Michael Jenkins will be here, our youth pastor for Eastwood Baptist Church. So he'll be here. And then on the 9th, we have a mission strategist from the Kentucky Baptist Convention who will be here. His name is Doug. Brother Doug will be here to preach on the 9th. And so while I'm away in Southeast Asia, you're in good hands as always. And I just look forward to hearing what God is going to do while I'm away, and look forward to coming back and telling you all about what God did while I was there. So anyway, if you have your copy of God's Word, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's stand to honor God's Word. Every single jot and tittle in this Bible is true. You can count on it. You can believe it. That's why we read from it. That's why we preach from it. This is what we live by. It says this, first verse, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." This is the reading of the Word of God today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We ask, God, that we would be able to take what we hear today and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, put it into practice in our lives, God. We don't want to be hearers only. We want to be doers. And so, God, help us to do this. I pray what we pray today would come to fruition in our life. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. You know, one of the joys of being a parent is teaching our children to pray. Because you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. I mean, for good or for bad. My six-year-old Elijah, oftentimes, I mean, he just amazes us with his prayers, not to give him a big head, okay? How many of your parents have been there before, right? Your kid is praying, and you and your spouse, you and your wife, or your husband, you got to open your eyes and look at each other while they're praying and say, "Wow." Right? I mean, she's like, "Goodness, did that just come out of his mouth?" You know? And of course, each parent's like, "Oh, he takes after his daddy," or you always try to take claim on that. And then, there's like my daughter Elizabeth. She's 4 years old, and man, she's not trying to be funny, but the prayers that she prays sometimes, right? I mean, everybody, before it's over with, we're just shaking because we're trying to keep the laughter in, shoulders up and down, and all that stuff. She's not trying to be, but she is. But we've all heard the phrase that kids say the darndest things, but kids also pray the darndest things. You know, one little boy prayed, "Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. I never asked you for anything before then. You can look it up, God." Another one prayed, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy, mama, sister, brother, and my doggy and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess." One little girl, she had a question that popped into her head while she was praying. "God, I went to a wedding this weekend, and they were kissing right there in the church. Is that okay?" And then one sweet little boy, he prayed, "Oh God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but with a lot less hair." One of my joys as pastor of this campus is to pray for you all. God has set me aside for that, for the studying and preaching of his word, and for prayer. Those are two of the greatest things that he has set your pastors aside for, okay? And I try to take that calling, that commission very seriously. And as we often say every Sunday morning, that every Tuesday, the entire Eastwood staff sits down and we pray for the requests that you turn in, and then also for things that we're just aware of. I mean, by the time we're done, we've got a list like this long, okay? That we're praying for different people. And every Monday, Pastor Mark and I, we gather together, usually in my office, and we pray by name for the people of the South Campus. Every month. Now, we don't pray for every one of you every week, but we break it apart into four groups. And so at least once a month, every single one of you, it doesn't matter if you're a member here or just a regular attender, because we put regular attenders on our list too, you are prayed for by name by your pastors of this campus. We love you, and it's our joy to pray for you. Today, I want to bear my heart with you, my heart for you. I want to share with you what I'm praying for Eastwood. And one of the best ways I found to do that, now I could come off with my own list A lot of prayer things that I'm praying for you and for this campus as individuals and as a congregation. But one of the best ways that I've found to pray for people is to pray the scripture. How many of y'all do that? That you pray the scripture? All right. Perhaps, you know, you just don't know what to pray. It's a great way to learn to pray. I mean, it really is. Praying the scripture is a great way to do that. Or maybe sometimes you're in like one of those extended prayer meetings. You know, and it's your turn to pray, and you feel like you've prayed everything that you know to pray, okay? So what do? Well, you open up the Word and begin to pray the Word. Let's say you take a passage like one that everybody knows, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You take that verse and you turn it into a prayer, something like this. Father, I thank You for the great love that You've shown the world. Thank You for giving everlasting life to every person who will believe on Your Son. Father, I pray that John Doe would not perish, would believe on Jesus and be saved. So that's just an example for you, okay? You can never go wrong, amen, when you pray the scripture, right? It's inspired word, okay? You can't go wrong when you pray the Bible. So it's a great way for you to pray, to have content to your prayer, to have depth to your prayer. And so that's exactly what I want to do with you all today. I want to pray 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5 over you this morning. This is a text that really resonates with my heart for this campus and Eastwood as a whole. And so the point of this message will just sort of build as we go along. I am praying that Eastwood will first work to see the word of the Lord spread and glorified. That's what I'm praying first and foremost here. That we will work, that Eastwood will work to see the word of the Lord spread and glorified. Look at verse 1 with me here. The Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread ahead, may speed ahead, and be honored as happened among you." As I read that, I mean, isn't that the prayer of every true Christian community, right? That the word of God would spread and that people would love it. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he had but one mission, and that was to take the gospel where it had never been before. And look what he did. He, the apostle, Paul, what's he do? He asks for prayer. And if he needs prayer, how much more do we need prayer? Jesus said to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. You see that it starts out small and just keeps expanding out. And so that commission includes Bowling Green, Kentucky, and its surrounding communities. Eastwood South Campus. Think about this. We are here for many purposes, but one of those is definitely to take the word out there. The word of salvation. There is salvation through Christ. I believe that's what Paul is talking about here when he talks about he's seeking prayer that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. Most likely the word in your Bible there is not capitalized. And so it's not probably talking about the Bible. It's talking about the gospel, the good news of salvation. He's talking about lovingly confronting people with the gospel. Now, you know that that's possible, right? You can confront and do it lovingly. Oftentimes we think of confrontation as like something negative where you really got to get mean and nasty and all that stuff. No, you don't. You lovingly confront with the gospel. The gospel will always confront people. It will meet people where they are. It'll smack them up the head. You ain't got to do it. The gospel will do it for you. And they need to hear. Every person needs to hear that because of their sin, they have no peace with God. That their sin left to themselves, they'll bear the wrath of God forevermore. And that they can do nothing of their own selves to change that. They can't be good enough. They can't work hard enough. They can't go long enough. All those things. They got to hear that they're in trouble. But secondly, we have to tell them along with the gospel that there was a Savior who came, Christ, who lived and died and rose again. That He lived the life that we cannot live, the moral life. And He died the death that we deserve, taking our sin, every single one of you who will believe on Jesus, taking your sin on Himself and paying for your sin. They need to hear that. And they need to hear that Christ rose again, providing victory over death. And then here's the key part. We don't just tell them the news. We tell them how to receive the good news. They need to understand that if they will believe on Jesus, if they will place their faith on Christ alone, that they will be saved and have peace forevermore. What we just sang about, right? The blood of Jesus will cover them. There's no stain of sin too deep, too dark, but the blood of Christ will not cleanse. And I'm guessing that there are people right here under the sound of my voice this morning that need to be saved from the consequences of their sins. You've come in this morning and you need to hear Christ and what he did. And you need to hear who you are without Christ. And you need to hear who you can be with Christ. That's what you need to hear. That's what you need to hear this morning. And so I pray that this morning, if that's you, I'm not talking about praying a prayer or walking an aisle. I'm talking about placing your hope, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a life of faith that leads to repentance, that you're changed. We don't come to Christ and say the same. That faith is no faith, but faith that saves is faith that changes. There's a change that's wrought in you. Some of you know right now that you're not saved this morning. And I want to say to you that you can be today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow, right? You don't got to put it on a calendar. Today's the day. If the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, come to Christ. Today is the day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. I pray that somebody today would place their faith in Christ and be saved. And so we have to work to get that message out. We have to work to get the message out. You might say, well, preacher, everybody's heard that. No, they haven't. Every single day, somebody is born that has never heard the gospel. Right? Every day, there are new children being born. But not only that, I hope to never forget meeting Dwayne Holloway in Alexandria, Tennessee. Dwayne Holloway, in his 20s, the dude lived within 5 miles of like 10 churches. He already had experienced brain cancer and just had a rough life. He knew what it was to face death. And so one day I went by his house to meet with him. I forget how I came in contact or heard that he needed to be visited, needed to hear Christ. So I went by his house, and as passionately and as clearly as I could, I shared the gospel with him. And I hope to never forget the words that came out of his mouth. Remember, Dwayne Holloway, in the middle of Alexandria, 10 churches, he could almost throw a rock and hit a church. He said to me after I explained the gospel, he said, "I've never heard that in my life." And I'll be honest with you, it stunned me. Because we've heard of people who have never heard the gospel. I don't know that I ever met one. And there he was right there. I want to say to you, here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Dwayne Holloways. You know what I'm saying? That have sort of been around the Bible Belt, and they've seen churches and all that stuff, but they've never heard the gospel. Or maybe they've never heard the real gospel. And you and I have to work to get the gospel to them. But think about this for a moment. We in Bowling Green, we have a special situation here. A very special situation, right? We don't just go to the nations. The nations are coming to us. I was looking at the census statistics the other day. Did you realize that 8% of Warren County's population is foreign born? 8%. Percent of 120,000 people are foreign born. I was talking to a family resource coordinator at Lost River Elementary a few weeks ago. I was volunteering over there, and I was asking her about school and dealing with immigrants and internationals and all those things. She said in Warren County Public Schools, there are around 40 different languages spoken by their students. And I was just bowled over. Now, yes, I understand that puts strains on our community. It strains our government and schools and all those things. But think about the gospel implications. The nations are coming to us. As Mark said earlier, we used to have to get on a boat and risk our lives just to even get there to go share the gospel. But here in 2014, they're coming here. We have the opportunity to spread the gospel far and wide without ever leaving our city. I mean, it's just an amazing time that we live in. Yeah, we're going to continue to go. Don't get me wrong. We're going to continue to go to the nations, but never miss that the nations are coming to us. We got to work to get the gospel out. And yes, there are undoubtedly those here in Warren County, Bowling Green, Kentucky, surrounding communities who have heard the gospel many times. So what do? You tell them again, right? You tell them again. How many times did you have to hear the gospel before you trusted Christ? I mean, years. I was 17 years old when I trusted Christ. And I'd heard the gospel many times throughout my life. It took that many times, whatever number that was. Almost no one trusts Christ the first time they hear of Jesus. You got to tell them again and again and again as long as they are alive so they might turn and trust Christ. And yes, the verb here is work. Work to see the word of the Lord spread and glorified. And can I just say that it is work? It is work. It's labor. It can be hard. It can be very uncomfortable. It can be time consuming. But the only alternative is to simply sit back in our ease and watch people die and go to hell. And that's not the alternative. I pray that that would never happen on Eastwood's watch. But we don't want to simply see the word of the Lord spread. We want to see it also, as the text says here, glorified. Glorified. In other words, that people would honor the gospel by believing and receiving the gospel. That's what we want to see. That's what I believe to see the word glorified, right? He's talking about hearts that were once dead to God becoming alive to God. Lives that had no hope becoming filled with hope. The hope of glory, right? Families that are running away from God and straight toward hell, repenting and turning and running to God in heaven, glorifying God. That's the gospel. My prayer is that the gospel would progress in Bowling Green and its surrounding communities, that it would be unobstructed, unhindered. May God bless this congregation by using it to bring many into the kingdom of God. May we work to see the word of the Lord spread and glorified. Brothers and sisters, that's what I'm praying for you. That's what I'm praying for you. Second, I'm praying that Eastwood will be rescued from perverse and evil men. Rescued from perverse and evil men. Look at verse 2 and 3. And that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Who knows what plans Satan and the people who live in darkness around us have? I mean, there's no depth. I mean, you turn on the news and you just see, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, guys, think about this for just a moment. I was just commenting to Christy the other day that school shootings have become so common that we don't really get worked up about them anymore. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's this, the brokenness of our nation and our people, the hearts of darkness. Guys, don't ever let yourself become calloused to the ugliness of sin. But who knows what they're planning? I don't know the specifics, but I know the generalities. We know in the Bible from Romans 1, 28 through 32, here are the sort of things that's going to happen. The Bible says that God is giving some people up to a debased mind, people with a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. People are going to be filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. I don't know the specifics, but I know the generalities. There it is. Those are the categories that we can expect coming out of people. And our prayer is that God would deliver us from those sort of people. That the devil himself, who we know from 1 Peter 5:8, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Guys, if you dwell on it long, you're just going to lock yourself up in your house and never leave. Right? I mean, if you dwelt on that. But every day I get up and I walk out my door. I leave my wife and kids at the house and enter into a city. And when I come home, I pray that they're there and I pray that everything's okay. And I pray that as I go out, nothing happens to me. Am I foolish for doing that? I mean, shouldn't I just do it like like a battalion? Just get in there and just do a fort and not get out? No way, because every day, look what it says here. We're praying for protection. And we're leaning on the promise of verse 3 here. Look at the promise. That the Lord is what, church? What is he? Faithful. Even though there are many people out here who do not have faith, even though there are enemies of the cross, and because you are a person of the cross, they hate you by extension. Even though they are out there, God is faithful and he'll strengthen you and protect you and your family and our church from the evil ones. Right? Even though we get into a pit of vipers or a den of robbers or a gang of murderers, God's hand of protection never leaves you. It never leaves me. It never leaves this church. And even if they kill me, even if they kill you, the evil one, the Bible says, cannot touch me because my life is hidden with Christ on high. And they just call it catapult you into heaven. I mean, that's what the Bible says. That's where our boldness comes from. That's where our bravery comes from. That's where our fortitude is derived. I pray that God would rescue us from perverse and evil men. That's what I'm praying for Eastwood. Third, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that Eastwood will continue to do whatever God commands. Look at verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do all the things that we command. Now, when Paul says what we command, he's not appealing to some dictatorial style, some dictatorial person, whoever, whatever they say goes. He's pointing to his office as apostle, okay? He's pointing to the fact that he is the inspired author of Scripture, that they are the authority on earth, and they have delivered the apostles' teaching to us, okay? So ultimately here, we're not obeying Paul, we're obeying God and his word, okay? We're obeying his word. Do you realize what you're holding in your hands? Those of you who have the Bible in your hands, do you realize what you have? It's the very word of God. What God says, the Bible says. And what the Bible says, God says. That's exactly what we have here. It's where we find what God has commanded us to do. And man, there are some tough commandments in here. Tough for us to live out. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. Some of you, I mean, it's just your constitution. You're anxious in your spirit. You're a worrier in your spirit. And God says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. How about this tough commandment? Love your enemies. That's tough. I can love those who love me, but God, you call me to love those that hate me? He says, love your enemies. How about this tough commandment? Do not judge hypocritically. You guys realize that often gets thrown at Christians. Are you a Christian? You ain't supposed to judge. No, the Bible says to judge. It just says not to judge hypocritically. Get the log out of your eye before you worry about somebody else's speck. And then help your brother remove the speck. Don't miss that, because they're always going to throw that at you. Do not judge hypocritically. That's tough. Because as we were talking about a while ago in Bible fellowship with Wes's class, right? We like to set rules that we can meet and others can't, okay? We don't want to be hypocritical. We want to be faithful. We want to be true in our judging. We want to be fair. How about this one, kids? Honor your parents. That's one of the commandments in the Bible. Man, that's tough. Already, Nathaniel, my two-year-old, we said yesterday we were doing a project at the house and said, here, carry this hammer. He said, don't want to. No, I said, carry it. No, don't want to. 2 years old, he's already doing that. Honor your parents, that's tough. How about this one? Don't take revenge. Man, a lot of commandments in here. But I'm praying that this church will continue to do everything that God commands in Scripture. including resting in the grace of Christ when you fall short. Did you realize that that's one of the commandments? He's commanded us to be holy as God is holy, but he's also commanded us the law of Christ that when we fall short, we rest in Jesus. Can you meet that commandment? Can you rest in Christ who died to fulfill what you have fallen short of? That's a great commandment to rest in. May our hearts be open to follow the full teaching of Scripture, especially as the culture turns against biblical Christianity. Guys, listen, the devil is not worried about Christianity in particular, okay? In general, actually. He's not worried about Christianity in general. What he's worried about is biblical Christianity. Because there's a form of Christianity that denies the power of God, that ignores the word of God. You see, the devil desires to pull us away from the Bible. So biblical Christianity, and that's where he's going to attack us. He's always done that. He's going to attack the word of God. He's going to do that. At the Kentucky Baptist Convention in just two Tuesdays, November 11th, the messengers of Eastwood Baptist Church, along with the other messengers from the Kentucky Baptist Convention, are going to be meeting right here in Bowling Green over at Living Hope Baptist Church. And at that meeting, we're going to have the opportunity to vote out a congregation from the KBC that has openly strayed from the teaching of the Bible. Earlier this year, Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, it voted to ordain people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, and to perform same-sex marriages. So let me just put that in everyday terms. They would be fine with their preacher being a homosexual, okay? And they would be fine with marrying those who are homosexual in their building. And so on November 11th, with a broken but resolute heart, the Kentucky Baptist Convention will vote them out of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Now, again, keep in mind, we're not separating from them. We're just affirming that they have already separated from us, okay? But here's the point. Here's the point with what I'm saying with that. I was around a breakfast table this past Wednesday at Denny's. Several of the area pastors meet there on Wednesday mornings, talk and all those things. And one of the pastors, we got on this topic, and one of the pastors was lamenting. He said, "Man, I remember when Crescent Hill was a Bible-believing church." Guys, the devil wants to separate the church from the Scripture. And when he does, he has us. Because without the Word of God, we have no truth. Without the Word of God, we have no power. Without the Word of God, we are a people who are like a ship at sea without a sail or a rudder. We're hopeless without the Bible. And so the devil's going to work to sever us from it, and he doesn't usually do it with like one big swing of an axe. That's not how the devil separates the church from the Bible and the Bible from the church. It's usually one little cut. It's not death by one cut, it's death by a thousand cuts. We have to guard ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. We got to hold strong to the Bible because that's where we find the commands of God for the Christian life and the Christian church. Guys, I pray that we would continue to do whatever God commands. And where do we find what God commands? Right here. Be faithful. Be faithful to this word because God has given a faithful testimony for us to live by. That's what I'm praying for Eastwood. And then finally this morning, the final thing is I just pray Scripture over you, is that Eastwood will love God steadfastly in Christ. That you would love God steadfastly in Christ. Let me just say, you might claim today that you love God, but if Christ is not your Savior and Lord, it is impossible for you to love God. You are loving an idol. You think you love God, but you're not. You're loving a falsity, a God that you have conjured up in your own mind. So I beg you this morning, as I have throughout the entire message, to give your life to Christ because that's where it's found. Look at verse 5. "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." I want to be honest. I mean, the world has a lot to offer. I love living life, okay? I'm going to love getting on an airplane. Well, let me say that again. I don't love taking off. I like landing, okay? Taking off is the worst part. But once you get up there and you look out and you see those clouds, it's amazing the world that God has made for us. It's amazing. I love living in the world. I love pizza. I love a lot of things that God has given us. All the good gifts. God, there are many, many things that the world offers. But never forget what the Bible says. When we compare those things to Christ, the Bible says that comparatively speaking, the things of this world are like trash. Now, he's not calling them trash. He's just saying that Christ is that much greater. God is the only one, the only thing that will ultimately satisfy you, guys. Money won't do it. Power won't do it. Prestige won't do it. Whiskey, wine, and beer won't do it. Drugs, both legal and illegal, won't do it. Sex won't do it. Family won't. Religion won't. To chase after anyone or anything else first is to shortchange yourself big time. All of these things are fleeting pleasures. All of these things are here today, gone tomorrow, but Christ is steadfast. He's steadfast. In him is joy and peace and satisfaction that is inexplicable. I mean, words can't even put it all into thought here. And so, beloved, I pray that you will love God steadfastly in Christ above everything the world has to offer. And it does have some good things to offer, but Christ exceeds them all. That's what I'm praying for you. As we come to a close this morning, there are those here in our congregation that God just needs to do some business with. Need to do some business. You've walked in these doors without Jesus. Please, do not leave this place without Jesus. Come to him. Surrender your life to him. Believe on him. There are others of you here this morning, you're being tempted to move away from what the Bible is commanding you. Would you get right with God this morning? Would you commit yourself once again to the faith once forever delivered to the saints contained in the Word of God? Would you commit yourself to that once again? I could go on and on with a list, but you know God's been speaking. The Holy Spirit, I pray, has been ministering to you as I've preached. You know what business you need to do with God. So we're going to move into a time of invitation. We don't do this out of tradition. We do it to give you a genuine opportunity. But here's what I'm praying. May God do this, what I prayed for here. May God do this in Eastwood and through Eastwood from Bowling Green to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. And as I finish praying, would you just be obedient to God as Pastor Mark begins to sing here in just a moment? Just if you want to come forward and pray right here, that's where you come. Or I'll be right here ready to meet you. I would love to introduce you to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, in the holy name of Christ, thank you. Thank you for your word, Father, that I can open up and pray over this congregation. God, may we work to spread the word of the Lord so that people would glorify in it. Father, would you protect us from wicked men and from the wicked one? Father, would you help us to continue to do everything that you've commanded us to do. And Lord God, may we love you steadfastly through Christ, never turning to the right or to the left. All over the sanctuary, Father, I pray you would touch hearts and change minds and stir up and steady, God, whatever needs to happen in the hearts of people here. Thank you for your word. May the Holy Spirit work and do what only the Holy Spirit can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,